Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
From Variety, celebrating more than 115 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
I can't imagine doing just one thing anymore. Like, I can't imagine... And I have, but it feels wrong. Or it feels like a vacation when I'm just doing one thing, oddly enough. But I also feel restless and useless when I'm not doing more, which is a problem, probably.
Issa Rae can't sit still. And that's because the Emmy-nominated star and executive producer of HBO's just-ended Insecure has plenty on her plate to keep on moving. I'm Michael Schneider, and on this episode of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast, we talk to Issa Rae about the end of Insecure, her new HBO series Rap Shit, that Emmy nom, and much, much more. But first, our Award Circuit Roundtable discusses the supporting actor categories. It's all next on this edition of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast. Stay close. Hey, everyone, back to the roundtable. It is Michael Schneider from Variety, along with Emily Longaretta, Jazz Tankay, and wait a second, look who has shoved Clayton Davis out of the way.
It's my All About Eve moment, finally.
Smacked him, locked him in a closet. Who knows what he's doing, where he is, but I'm very happy to instead see Janelle Riley.
Hello. I didn't know who I was filling in for today, but now that I know it's Clayton, I'll make a lot of bad jokes.
plenty of dad jokes. Make some really off the wall predictions. Just go for it. Just go wild.
Go, Janelle.
I'm telling you, Errol Morris, it's his year.
So Janelle, are you already starting to think about film season? I mean, how far along are we in terms of starting to think about Oscars 2023?
Oh, I am most definitely. I mean, TIFF is just around the corner. I feel like I've already seen two of the best movies of the year before the halfway point. I'm so excited to see what else is coming this year. We have a new Spielberg movie. That's always fun. I'm getting really, really excited about the season.
Wow. Can you tell us what those two movies
are? Sure. Because one of them opens this week. It is I Love My Dad, starring Patton Oswalt as a man who catfishes his own son. And the other one is obviously Everything Everywhere All at Once,
mm-hmm.
which is also back in theaters, oddly enough.
Yeah.
With
well, extended that's... scenes, right?
Yes. Because that movie needed to be longer.
Yes, all movies need to be longer.
I love that movie. But yeah, we have a running joke about how if you automatically get 3 stars if you're under 90 minutes.
Yeah, I was just telling Jazz how I saw Easter Sunday, a screening of it. And it's like 97 minutes long. I'm like, yes, that's
dream.
What we need. More hour and a half movies, please. Mm-hmm. So that's like shorter than a TV episode.
I mean, seriously, you could watch one episode of Stranger Things or go to a movie.
Right. Or
those are your options.
Half of the season finale of Stranger Things.
Seriously.
Speaking of Stranger Things, I put my foot in my mouth so bad because I was in London when the Emmy noms came out and I was interviewing David Harbour that day because he's doing a wonderful play right now in London. And I just assumed he had been nominated. He had to tell me that he hadn't been. And I was like, because I could have sworn I saw it somewhere. It must have been like a predictions. And he was so gracious and such a good sport about it. I can blame jet lag and idiocy, but I was shocked he didn't make that cut.
Yeah. Well, the show was nominated, so at least there's still some Stranger Things love. And David Harbour he's won life. He's doing okay for himself.
Seriously.
Right now.
I'm fine.
Love him so
What's
much.
What's he in? What show is he in West
it's
End?
It's a play called Madhouse. It's Teresa Rebeck's new play. And when I found out he starred in it opposite Bill Pullman and it was a family drama, I assumed that they would be playing brothers, but I forgot that Bill Pullman was like 40 when While You Were Sleeping came out. So Bill Pullman plays his horrible, racist, sexist, terrible dad. And it will really try your childhood crush on Bill Pullman. because he's so good in this role, and he's just so awful as a character.
I have an adult crush on Bill Pullman, so I should probably not see it.
Luckily, I took my friend who's loved him since Newsies, and during intermission, I was like, "Oh, is this okay? Is this killing your crush?" And she's like, "Yeah." So I introduced them after the show, and Bill Pullman was his lovely, generous, sweet, kind self, and it renewed the crush in full.
Emily's swooning right now, for those who can't see.
I love him so much. I love. I mean, While You Were Sleeping is in my top five best movies, but my love also started in the Newsies. So,
What about Bill Pullman, President of the United States?
Damn straight. What about Bill Pullman in The Sinner, for which he deserved a lot more love?
No, he was fantastic in that too. Yeah,
he was fantastic. Yeah.
And so concludes our Bill Pullman appreciation podcast.
And apparently our stage podcast. I'm talking about everything but TV.
We talked about movies. We talked about stage. Probably should get to some Emmys talk. I mean, I think maybe people want to hear about that.
Yeah, we're getting a little closer now to voting. Phase two, not quite there yet, but is coming very soon because it is August. That's the insert scream or some sort of panicky sound. We are kind of heading into the home stretch. And as we record this, still no Emmy host announced. So, is astounding in itself. I have some ideas, but I'm not going to share them right now. But we'll see. We'll see. Should be coming soon. But this week, we're going to be talking about supporting actors in the various categories. So we've already done actress, we've already done actor. So on to the supporting categories. And these are the stacked categories that always have at least 8 nominations. So a lot of names to choose, a lot of folks going after each other from the same show. So that's always a question of, do they cancel each other out or will one rise to the top? So let's kick it off with drama, shall we? So we have Nicholas Braun, Cousin Greg from Succession. We've got Billy Crudup, one of the best things about The Morning Show. We got Kieran Culkin from Succession. We've got Park Hae-soo from Squid Game. We've got Matthew McFadden, Fadian. Janelle, you were just in London. You know how to pronounce that.
I think it's Fadden.
Oh, yeah. So the Y is silent.
McFadden, yeah.
McFadden from Succession. John Turturro from Severance and his romantic scene partner, Christopher Walken from Severance. And then Golden Globe winner, Oh Young-soo from Squid Game. So interesting, interesting category. Emily, what do you think?
Not many different shows there nominated, but quite the combination. I'm really happy that some of these people are getting some love. I feel like, big surprise here, I'm a huge Christopher Walken fan, so like I love to see him on any list, but I kind of think Nicholas Braun or Kieran Culkin, like they're the ones to beat in this category. That's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, there are 3 Succession nominees, so that is tough, but they're up against 2 Squid Game, 2 Severance, and then Billy Crudup just hanging out there by himself.
Which Billy Crudup did win last year. So we have to say Billy Crudup did win before. So
was
it's like
it last year or did they have the year off? I think he had the year off. So it was the crown last year.
I don't know. The years have all meshed together.
Right. At this point, but yeah, we don't know. The last time he was eligible.
The last time he was nominated, he won.
Yeah, for good reason too. He's fantastic.
Oh, plays the best network executive. One of the best you've ever seen on television. So
it's so funny because I thought that that Matthew McFadden was coming off the best season and he was sort of the standout of Succession. And I think it's funny that you mentioned Nicholas and Kieran saying it's down to between them, because I would have thought it was him. But now that I'm thinking about it, they're all so good. I don't even know, how you can tell.
I mean, it's so hard to pick, right? Because I think, as we think about it now, like I think Kieran's arc was stronger because it sticks with you more. Like his entire performance of trying to like get Jerry, the dick pic scene, like, and then of course the finale. Am I allowed to say dick pic on the panel?
Of course.
When you say it, it sounds classy.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. It's so funny. And it's a part of a trend this season of there's a lot of dicks on television. So
yeah,
literally and figuratively, but in the end, ultimately it's Matthew McFadden who ended the season on such a note with that turn. So he literally shivved Shiv, which we're still thinking about how that season ended. So who knows? This is a tough one as a result.
Do we think Squid Game like cancels each other out?
I think, Young-soo?
Yeah.
I think he could take this easily, but I think it's going to be an indication of how things are going to go for Squid Game. If this award comes early and he wins it, I think things are looking really good for him. I was so happy he was nominated. I could absolutely see that happening. Part of me thinks John Turturro has a really good shot. People love him. But it is hard with Christopher Walken right there next to him. Like, I don't know if there's a way they could split the award. You could make a case for any single one of these people winning. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. Sure. No, it's true. That's why this is tough. So let's move on now to, let's move on to supporting actor in a comedy series now. So
Much easier.
Once again, you've got a lot of the same show popping up, in particular, Ted Lasso. Three. Sorry, three. I can't do math. Mm-hmm. I can't do math. I'm a journalist. I can't do math.
Now you're a journalist.
Yes. These are a solid three. So you've got incumbent winner Brett Goldstein up against Toheeb Jimoh and Nick Mohammed, who ended up being the villain of season two.
You're booing Nathan. We are not booing Nick. Nick is wonderful.
But then you've got four-time Emmy winner Tony Shalhoub. They do love them some Tony Shalhoub over at the TV Academy for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You've got the duo from Barry. You've got Noho Hank, Anthony Carrigan. And then, of course, another former winner, American Treasure, Henry Winkler. And from Abbott Elementary, the nice surprise of the mix, Tyler James Williams.
So happy.
Turns out everybody loves Chris now. Mm-hmm. So, and then from SNL, which didn't do a lot this year in terms of nominations as it has in the past, but nonetheless, Bowen Yang still got in there for supporting actor in a comedy series. So Jazz, you're up. What do you think?
Oh my gosh. It's tough, but I think I have Brett Goldstein at the top of my picks for Ted Lasso. Although I'm really not worried. I shouldn't say worried. I feel the Academy does love Maisel a lot more than we give it credit for. So I have Tony second. I'm just going wild here, by the way. And Abbott Elementary could surprise. I don't know. That's my 1, 2, 3. I'm just going completely wild here.
I remember watching Ted Lasso season two, which was, like a year ago, and thinking no way Brett Goldstein could lose after they did the rom-com episode where he runs to get to the stadium. Mm-hmm. And then Taheeb came in and like just became the heart of that season. And, you know, he was in the first season, but he really had such great storylines in season two, his romance with Rebecca, you know, taking on Dubai Air. I could absolutely see him winning. The question is, you know, have voters forgotten about that show? Whereas part of me thinks it's Anthony Carrigan's year. Everyone loves that guy. But then how do you vote for him and not Henry Winkler? This is the whole category is insane.
Oh yeah. Once again, it's tough. Emily, what do you think?
I mean, sorry, guys, I have muted myself because you may be able to hear there's a dog freaking out outside my apartment. So, you know, that's just the background noise I love to have here. perks of working at home. I honestly think it is time for Anthony Carrigan to get some love for Barry. But I mean, I would vote for Henry Winkler for anything. So my worry is that they cancel each other out. I don't think we should completely think Tyler James Williams is out of the race. I mean, I know he was such a surprise, but I think he is like a very strong contender because people loved Abbott. And I think that if it kind of the same way that you said about the last category, Janelle, I think that if he does pull this off, I mean, it could be a really big hint of what's to come for Abbott at the Emmys overall.
Yeah.
He's so good. So good. And he's the only nominee from his show. And You know, I could absolutely see it happening. I want them
on the actor side, that is. Like they literally nominated almost everyone from Abbott this year, which
yes,
good for it. I love Abbott. I'm so glad to see all of that recognition. But so that could be a good sign that you know, there is this outpouring of support for that show. Of course, there's also an outpouring for Ted Lasso, as we've noticed, with 20 nominations and literally almost everyone on that cast, including a lot of guest actors and actresses, got nominated from Ted Lasso this year. So But with those three potentially canceling each other out, and then with Anthony Carrigan and Henry Winkler potentially canceling each other out, I don't know. I have this feeling that Tony Shalhoub sneaks on in, which, you know, no offense to Tony Shalhoub, but dude, you have 4 Emmys already. You don't need another one. So
you can argue against Tony Shalhoub. He's fantastic.
No, exactly.
No.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Okay, Tony, fine. I'll cheer you on if you win anyway. But
spread the love. Yeah.
So this is a tough one. But yeah, I would be happy to see Anthony Carrigan up there. NoHo Hank, you know, just, you know, such a great character actor getting his due. So, and that'd be fun. It's always fun to see first timers win an Emmy. So as much as, you know, I'd be happy to see Brett Goldstein or Tony Shalhoub or Henry Winkler up there, I would love to see Anthony up there just for, you know, first time. And he would say something hysterical. It would just be a great, great moment. So, yeah. So.
Yeah. To Janelle's point about like Ted Lasso, do they remember it? I think if people, Emmy voters, go and watch Thor, Love and Thunder, they might be like, oh, hey,
that guy. I guess we can talk openly about this now because the movie's been out for like a month, that Greg Goldstein appears as Hercules at the end. But I don't know if there's another Thor movie coming. Taika Waititi didn't seem to be aware of this plan. So,
yeah, well, we talked about it at length on our recent podcast with the three of them. So it's the cat's out of the bag. If you didn't know before that Greg Goldstein is Hercules. So I just said it again. So
I sent him a GIF because we saw an early screening of the film and it was just the Eddie Murphy clip of the clumps going, Hercules, Hercules. And it was so good. He's like, I don't know what you could be talking about. It was like 2 weeks before the movie came out. He's so good at keeping secrets.
Yeah. And they're so, all of them are so great. Like Hannah Waddingham and Juno Temple were there and they're so proud of him. And just like the love among that cast. I love that. So, okay. On to limited or anthology series or movie supporting actor. And again, a lot of the same titles. They, when the voters this year, they love a show, they really love a show. So from The White Lotus, we have Murray Bartlett, we have Jake Lacy, and we have Steve Zahn. From Dope Sick, we got Will Poulter, Peter Sarsgaard, and Michael Stuhlbarg. And then from Pam and Tommy, Seth Rogen. So again, if you go through the process of everyone else canceling each other out, then maybe Seth Rogen picks himself up his first ever Emmy.
That would make me so happy.
I would be shocked if that happened. I would be completely shocked if that happened. Nothing against Seth Rogen. I just don't see how he beats out Murray Bartlett. For me, I think that while I loved seeing Jake Lacy and Steve Zahn get the love because I love both of them and their roles were so great in White Lotus, to me, Murray Bartlett made that entire show. So I just don't see how he loses this one.
This is the easiest one to call. Yeah, I think it's going to be Murray and I'm so happy for him. I just interviewed him today actually. And he said, you know, I asked him if he had trouble keeping secrets from White Lotus. He's like, no, everybody just wants to know if it was me who actually defecated in a suitcase. and I was like, well, since you brought it up, he's like, no, that was CGI. What's interesting to me is two people who I really thought would be nominated here, Naveen Andrews and Stephen Fry for The Dropout, weren't recognized. But I'm so happy to see Will Poulter was because he was fantastic. This category is a murderer's row. Michael Stuhlbarg, so good in Dope Sick as well. So is Peter Sarsgaard. But I just think that White Lotus, the Emmy voters obviously love it and they love Armand. So,
yeah.
Who doesn't, right?
Jazzy, you agree?
Agreed.
Murray Bartlett 100%. For the win?
Every time if you say his name, Armand, you just remember that scene and just how great he was, not in that scene alone, but like the entire series. So
yeah.
Murray Butler all the way.
No, that character is fantastic. The only disappointing thing is that he's still not sporting that mustache in real life, because I want him forever to have that Armand mustache now. But yeah, nonetheless, I agree. I think it's going to be Murray Bartlett. I think White Lotus is going to have a good night because obviously Jennifer Coolidge, our cover star of this week's Variety by Dan Daddario. Go check out newsstands or online or wherever you get your Variety. Fantastic issue this week. But obviously she's a shoo-in. We'll talk more next week on supporting actress. But so I think there's a good chance both of them will be celebrating on Emmy night. But yeah. No matter who wins in this category, it will be a first timer because no one in this category has ever won an Emmy before. So boom.
And I love that. I think that's so exciting. I mean, like, I feel like I've said this a lot this Emmy season, but there's always people that I'm like, oh, I'll be a little disappointed if they win again or if they win because like, I just feel like other people are more deserving. This category, and I think the last three we've talked about, I wouldn't be upset with any of these people winning.
Right.
Like, they are all so deserving. It's such a good group of people that, again, like you said, have never won before. So that's always really nice to see. And I mean, I'm very happy also about Michael Stuhlbarg because like he's been everywhere this year. He pops up in everything. So I'm so happy that he's getting some love.
I have a question, and maybe this is just jumping ahead, but since I'm a last second fill in this week, I don't get to usually participate in this. Do you think White Lotus takes series or do you think it's Dopesick?
Man.
Ooh, yeah, that's,
I guess we'll have to, I'm going to force Mike to answer. I mean, I think it's probably Dopesick in my guess.
That's what I'm leaning towards right now, Tim.
I think it might. I mean, clearly Keaton wins, actor.
Clearly? Are you sure? Yeah.
Clearly, yes. Keaton wins.
I mean, no way.
What do you think of Janelle?
I think it's probably Keaton, but Colin Firth. And I just have to say, people, myself included, love Sebastian Stan. And it's a very showy, very fun, very out there performance.
It's another tough, they're all tough categories, but I think my guess is Keaton wins for best actor, but White Lotus wins for limited. Now, ask me next week. I don't know.
Can I come back next week?
I mean, voters could decide, you know what, White Lotus, we know it's not actually a limited series, so that may be a ding against it, which I wouldn't be surprised. By the way, Dropout was one of the best things I watched this past year.
Truly. It truly is. And more to the Michael Keaton point, I think the best performance of his career, and that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me so nervous. I don't know.
So it's a stack category. And of course, we love Pam and Tommy at Variety. Since
love it.
That's sweet too.
Also, you know, they just pulled Michael Keaton's new movie. The guy needs a break. They really
Right?
This is true.
Yeah, someone please give Michael Keaton a break. What a tough life Michael Keaton
has. Hasn't he suffered enough?
Yes. Poor Michael Keaton. All right. what's that, Jess?
I was going to say he's had his movie pulled. Please vote for him.
Yeah.
Poor Keaton.
Well, okay. On that note, thank you so much, Janelle, for sneaking on in. And, you know, you can untie Clayton now. send him home. Tell him we may allow him back next week.
I was literally lying down to take a nap when you texted me.
Well, thanks for dropping by. Yes. Thanks, Emily. Thanks, Jazz. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, Mike.
After the break, Insecure star Issa Rae. From Los Angeles, this is the Award Circuit Podcast. And we're back. It's the Variety Award Circuit Podcast. I'm Michael Schneider. On July 12, Issa Rae was in the middle of a meeting, largely unaware that Emmy nominations were being announced. Then she received a text from a Black Lady sketch show creator and star, Robin Thede, congratulating her on being nominated for lead actress in a comedy. And there's plenty to be happy about. In addition to her solo recognition, Insecure nabbed two other noms, while a Black Lady sketch show, which Rae executive produces under her Hooray multimedia banner alongside Thede, earned five nominations. Ray has already been nominated twice before in Lead Comedy Actress for Insecure, which aired its fifth and final season in December.
It's so great that everyone we know is actually making decisions and going after what they want. And we on that path too. Yeah, we are. It's great. The block is hot. It's all finally happening.
I see you, entrepreneur.
So I met with the team. We're good to go.
Yo, that's what's up.
I'm really excited
to
just
change your game, boy.
I'm finna go crazy.
If this doesn't go well, it could cost us.
They did have a couple of notes.
What do you mean notes? Can you keep up?
I need a stress reliever after dealing with my parents' estate stuff.
It's still not done yet?
Girl, trying to get them to talk about it is like pulling teeth.
You know, it's never too late to start saving for your grandkids.
This is just not what I planned.
Everybody got a plan till they get punched, my guy.
He moved back?
Move on!
Why?
Because it's never gonna work, you dumb!
Our friendships just got hard all of a sudden. Work and family.
Girl, life.
Everybody wants to be successful. But not everybody's ready for the fame.
Issa Rae is now a force of nature. She co-founded the management arm Color Creative. She's behind the music label Radio, which is R-A-E-D-I-O. She co-owns the natural hair care line Sienna Naturals and co-owns Hilltop Coffee and Kitchen. Also, Rae's second HBO series, Rapshit, has just launched. And she's also behind the reality series Sweet Life Los Angeles. Now, with Insecure over and Rae plotting her next chapter, Variety's Angelique Jackson caught up with the mogul about the end of her signature series, her new series, her Emmy nom, and who else she's rooting for. Angelique began by congratulating Rae on the latest Emmy noms.
First of all, just congratulations on your Emmy nomination. And I will say, not many people celebrate their Emmy by doing a shift at their own coffee shop afterwards.
You know, that was already in the works, but I was still happy to go. And I got, you know, people are just so generous and so much love there. And so it was just nice to be, you know, in my community with my people and then serving them.
I mean, you have been. I mean, that's really what Insecure, I feel like, has been for fans. It has felt like a service to the audience, this opportunity for us to see ourselves. And again, to then get that recognition from the Academy, that third lead actor's Emmy nod, you know, what did it mean to see the final season of the show recognized that way?
It meant a lot. I was very skeptical. I had no expectations, actually. We aired in December and people usually forget there have been so many amazing shows since. And so it did feel really good to get recognized. I wasn't watching. I don't typically. And I was in a meeting and I don't think that I knew that the nominations were happening that day. And then my phone just started going off. And I had a little squeal that I let out in the meeting and then kept it pushing. But I was happy.
Yeah. And there was a lot of excitement, too, because also, obviously, Black Lady Sketch Show got 5 nominations.
So, happy. You know, Robin Thede was the one. She was the first text I got to tell me that I got nominated. And then when I got to catch up, I was like, I got 5 nominations. That's incredible.
Listen, though, I will say, since we have season 3 coming, are we going to see you back? Will we get Black Lady Courtroom? Are we getting those coral reefs?
I cannot say anything, but I can say that they are writing right now and it's gold, some gold stuff and a lot of new things happening. So I'm excited about it.
You know, as you were congratulating Robin, you're also congratulating Quinta. The fact that both of y'all are in the lead actress category, you know, what does it mean to you to see one, your friend, your fellow digital creator, and also another Black woman in that category, not like an either or, but of both.
I love Quinta so much. And she's one of those people where, you know, you just know it's a matter of time. And she's just so naturally funny, talented, knows what she wants. And is also so straightforward just as I think she's a Sag. I want to say she's a Sag because of her, she just gives it to you straight. When she's bothered, she wants you to know that she's bothered. And when she's having a good time, she's just having a good time. And so there's just no one more deserving. And, you know, her show is so good and it's so, she's just the perfect storyteller and the perfect, you know, actress. And to see her grow and into who she is now is so fulfilling. And we have just similar backgrounds. So it's also funny, like, you know, here we are meeting in the same category, and like, I'm just so, so happy for her. And she's making history. Like, yeah. She's making history along with her first Emmy nomination. And she's just one of those people that is just also so present and generally grateful. She's having a good ass time, no matter where she is. So I said a lot of things, but the short of it is I love her.
Well, what is it like to kind of have that moment and see that synergy? The idea that Hooray, you know, in its newest iteration is continuing to wrap up, to rack up rather Emmy nods for both shows with more shows to come.
I mean, that's extremely exciting to go from like, hey, girl, do you want to work together, to HBO greenlighting a show and then for it to be acknowledged in this way year after year. Like, that's super cool. And I obviously there's a company element to it and a business element to it. But at the end of the day, it's just like fan to fan. It just feels good to be able to put people on and then have other people fall in love with them in the same way that you are.
And y'all were also a Jeopardy question last night.
Yeah, I saw that. And I don't know that, like, we used to watch Jeopardy as a family all the time. I was terrible, but my older brother was great. And so, like, to know that we were not only a Jeopardy question, but we were like a $2,000 Jeopardy question, and the little white lady got it right. That was amazing.
That is like real cultural resonance there.
Come on. She did her research.
Had you been a Jeopardy question before? Or was this the first time?
I don't think I've ever been a Jeopardy question before. I want to say I've been adjacent, but I've never heard my name in a Jeopardy question. No, I need to actually send that to my family. I was going through Instagram, but I need to send that to my mom because she was at the premiere last night and I have some making up to do.
Well, I was going to say this show is a bit of a family affair in a lot of ways, because also your sister is a part of Rap Shit.
Yes, she is. And to have my family there and to see her name in the credits was super, super special. But yeah, this is her first TV show. And, you know, when I was writing this show, I knew that I wanted to have her be a part of it in some way, just because I just knew that she could write for these characters and that she had such a sensibility for this show. And I was so happy that Sarita was willing to hire her.
What was it about her perspective? She said it was something, you know, about her perspective on these characters or on this life. Was it the parenthood part? What was the aspect you were like, oh yeah, she's got this?
My sister actually reminds me of Sarita. They have a similar sense of humor. She's sharp. She's witty. She's also just like pop culturally in the know in every way, like from the grittiest gossip to, you know, to the grittiest, gutteriest gossip. So I also just being a mom and having that perspective, she's a young mother, and she's just like between all of that and just being funny and witty and actually a good writer. I was excited to try her out this season, and she beyond delivered.
Well, tell me about writing the pilot for Rap Shit. You had this idea for a while. You even said that, you know, at one point you thought about really diving into the rap career with Issa Dee in Insecure. You know, what made you decide to put pen to paper?
Yeah, when I was first developing the pitch for what would be Insecure, I wanted to be in that world. I was like, there's something interesting about a female rapper because there's just so many stories that you can mine from that. And so I never got to tell that story in that way. But it always, like, I always had that desire. So when HBO Max via Susanna Makos and Sarah Aubrey approached me about doing a show, I was like, I want to set it in this world. And like, I always, like I said, was thinking about it, but then I wasn't really writing it. I was so busy with Insecure. And then a producer who shall remain nameless, who I've named before, but we've since discussed and I'm good. But he made a comment about how most female rap is just, all they rap about it is their pussies. And can they rap about anything else? And at the time it like pissed me off because I was like, this is unfair. And I used that as motivation to write the pilot and to put pen to paper, and that kind of served as the foundation. And then I just thought about the other elements of what it means to be a female rapper right now, what it means to be an artist in this moment. And I just wanted to make a piece that reflected where we are culturally.
Yeah, instead of really it being about putting her on, I think what Sarita is a better example of is, one, obviously, like, talent and being amazing, but also on a business side, the synergy that you all have continued to develop at Hooray and between Hooray and Color Creative. And, you know, the synergy is also then further represented with radio, doing the music for this show. You even see it as you guys have been doing this, like, worldwide, nationwide press tour. Sienna Naturals was at Essence with y'all. You know, how are you, you know, feeling about the ability to have that synergy with the projects that you're making as you move forward?
I mean, that was an intention that we set, I want to say in 2020, like I just been really, really focused on making sure that the businesses are synergistic and making sure that our department heads, our leaders are looking out for one another. And it is a challenge, you know, but I want to have an ecosystem. And, you know, this show in particular was our first opportunity to be like, all right, y'all, it's all hands on deck. Let's see what we can do. And let's see how we can be self-sustaining. And so we've learned some things work, some things don't, but it really is exciting to see all of everybody's hard work kind of come to fruition via this one project and vision.
Well, speaking of new projects, we saw a lot of the Sweet Life LA cast at your premiere party last night. Yes. When can we expect season two?
You know, you can expect it soon. That's all I'll say. But season two is amazing. It's really, really great. And I can't wait for people to see their / my best friends on screen again.
What was the most exciting part about kind of diving back into the reality world again, kind of seeing, okay, here's what we did in season one. Here's how we want to continue in season two. I mean, we've seen, you know, some of their like life things on Instagram, but we know, I'm sure the show is leveling up as well.
Yeah, the show is definitely leveling up. We know the stories that we're telling. We're more familiar with them as people, and we're more familiar with their journeys. And so they have leveled up in so many ways. And it's like watching that first episode and getting that cutback was like, oh man, I'm so happy to see them. It does really feel like you're reunited with your friends. And like, it's just really refreshing to see how far they've come since the first season and how far they'll continue to go. But there's a new level of confidence in themselves and a new level of growth that people should be excited to witness as well.
Listen, growth is always a theme in your things, everything. Being insecure, and let's be honest, Sienna Naturals, hair growth.
Hello, hair growth.
I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about the episode and just like what, when you're thinking about it, like as your Emmy submission and as like, you know, as it's representing your acting, what is it, maybe what scene, what part of that episode is kind of like your standout, your memory?
I think I'm going to go full circle with the mirror moments. I think college mirror Issa really makes me think about like even where I started the show and a lot of the improv that happened like on both sides. And then even my relationship with Melina, who lets me play a lot and who's very, very transparent about what she likes and what she doesn't like. Her laugh is very distinct, so you know when you've gotten her and you've gotten something good. But like, I think about that moment and I think about, you know, the ending scene with Lawrence and, you know, ending it with him and where Issa essentially chooses herself and chooses her happiness at that point in time, even though it hurts. And just playing that scene out with Jay, who I just love doing scenes with in general, just make me think about the run of the show.
Yeah. Tell me about playing college Issa. You know, getting to throw the braces on, like.
College Issa was like, that was me. That was me in college. And when my friends saw that, I remember I got to see the first episode with them and they were like, dang, you really nailed that. Like, that is how you looking. So it was just interesting to make fun of myself in that way when, you know, I might've thought I was killing it back then. Yeah. And then just, of course, having the episode at Stanford and, you know, being able to acknowledge and really see how far I've come and recognize the moments there that brought me to where I am now.
Yeah. Actually, to that point of like how far you've come, that is that full circle, bringing that back around. When you think about that first season to now and your process as an actor, you know, how have you grown, changed, expanded? You know, what is it like now stepping into that character, you know, after 5 seasons of playing Issa Dee?
You know, it's so interesting. You know, I've watched, what did I just watch? I can't remember why. Oh, we just did a compilation of like bloopers that hopefully we'll be able to release soon. And so it was from season 1 to 5. And so I got to see even then just how much we all changed and how much we all, you know, obviously our chemistry got better. And for me, I feed off of other actors and I've just learned to listen more, you know, and be more present. And that's just in all of the work that I do. Like I really... from working on other projects, I've taken so many of the things and the experiences that I've had with other actors, other directors, and brought it back. Right. But it's just, I've also just grown up while doing this show.
All right, one more thing about Rap Shit. I was, you know, talking to all the girls about seeing the billboards for the first time and what that experience has been like. What do you remember about seeing that billboard for the first time for you with Insecure?
I remember where I was. Well, obviously, I get to, like, help and decide like what the final one was, but like I was driving down Crenshaw and Olympic and I saw it for the first time and I pulled over and I started, you know, filming it, and it was just like I think I said like my regular ass face on a billboard, and I just felt so special. And you know, fast forward to now even with doing Rap Shit, like I'm obsessed with these girls seeing themselves out on these billboards and celebrating. And you know, I just never forget that feeling, and I hope that for them it's the same, because it truly does feel like, oh, like for me, I've disassociated myself from the billboards in that way. Like it doesn't necessarily feel like me, but I always try to remember like how special that feels. Yeah.
I feel like the one that you went to go see was previously an Insecure billboard before season 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. That went. Me, Jay, and Yvonne went to that tall wall like right before the show premiered, I want to say. And that was also a very special memory.
Yeah. With this show too, obviously, this is the follow-up. This is the second, well, not second, it's actually really the third, fourth on HBO.
Oh, show-wise.
Yeah, show-wise. You know, at what point Do you kind of get past, get over the nerves of, or actually, did you ever have a point where you're nervous, like, will anybody watch it? Do you let yourself think that, or do you?
I think, yeah, of course I think that all the time. I don't know that I'll ever get past that, you know? It's just, and I think that's also what keeps me going, is just like those nervous butterflies of, are people going to fuck with this? Or are they going to be like, fuck it? But... like I love creating so much, and like that won't stop me. And if people don't fuck with this one, I know that I'm like, well, I know they're gonna mess with this one. So for me, it just gives me more opportunities to continue to create and to top myself and my own expectations.
You've been so busy and traveling all over everywhere. You know, have you had time again to like look and think and absorb all of those successes kind of leading to chapter 3, 4? What are we considering?
I feel like I'm worth on that too. I'm like, this feels like chapter 3, but then I'm like, I don't want to say it's chapter 3 because it's chapter 4, like I'm old and dead, about to die. So I don't know, like, how many?
You can have a big book.
Oh, I have a big book. Thank you.
You think you only get a 4-chapter book, Issa?
You're right.
Not like a picture book.
Those are the types of books I read. Okay, you're right.
I know it is not. you were just like Shauna. I saw her there with Becoming by Michelle Obama. She had casts on her table. Those were...
Okay, well, all right. So yes, I would consider this chapter 3. Yeah, but the question that you just asked the question.
Just taking the stock of...
Oh, yes, I have. Absolutely. Yes, this year. This year is like... I would say that I've been having so much fun, and I have had moments where I've been able to just really appreciate where I started and where I am now, to take stock of, you know, the people that I love, that like just taking in experiences. And yeah, I truly, truly feel blessed and grateful. This has been so much fun.
That's Issa Rae, the Emmy-nominated star and executive producer of Insecure. All episodes are available to stream on HBO Max, while her new series, Rap Shit, is now airing on HBO. And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Drew Griffith edited this episode, and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest Emmy predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tanke, Emily Longaretta, and Clayton Davis, I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you on the circuit.